morning?
We're good.
Okay, I'm going to call the regular planning commission meeting of December 7th, 2016 to order and establish a quorum.
Norm McClellan, present.
Gloria Fleming, present.
Don Griner, present.
Russ Smith, present.
Okay. And we'll let our counselor-elect lead us in the... I said I was going to put you to work. You can lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Anybody have any added agenda items?
Not tonight.
Okay. How about you guys?
Nope.
Okay. Do we have any public comments at this time? No. Okay. Did everybody get a chance to look at the November 9th?
Yes.
Minutes?
Yes.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the minutes for September 9th.
I'll second.
November. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Alrighty. Comprehensive item number 7, Q1640, CPA comprehensive plan map amendment.
That's from the that's from last meetings.
Oh.
No problem. Never mind.
That was just approved. Okay, the next one is to interview our applicant for resident planning commissioner vacancy. And Mary Hatfield, would you like to come up? Brent? Everybody had her application, right? You had a chance to read it? Okay. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
I'm glad to meet you. I haven't met you before. I understand you know Russ.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Would you like to tell us why you would like to be on the Planning Commission?
Well, I've been here in Lapine since 1976. And I've been on the Amulets when it was volunteers in the 70s. And I've worked with doing a lot of different boards and things. And I want to see how Lapine is growing more. And of all the ways it has grown in since I've been here, has been a lot of changes since the 70s. And I want to be part of it. And I have the time.
Good.
I retired.
Okay. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Yes.
This month.
Do you have any questions?
No, not at this time, I don't know.
Okay. How about you, Russ? And Don?
No, I have none.
Okay, we really, haven't really talked about the application. It does go into quite a bit of detail. And so what is our next thing for this then? As far as the interview is concerned.
Well, if you don't have any other questions for her and you'd like to make a motion to recommend her appointment to the Planning Commission, then it would be on the council agenda next week.
Okay.
And
I'll
just
make that motion.
Yeah, and sorry, I just want to say real quick, just so everyone knows, it would be a 4-year term that would start in January. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tonight, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I make the motion that we approve Mary for...
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Well, that was easy. Thank you.
Well, you still have to go before the council.
Oh, okay.
Or they still have to approve, I should say.
Oh, okay.
But that's our recommendation.
All right.
So, and you were very, your application was really good. I'm
oh.
glad you put.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Do I get
I don't know whether you've lived here long enough.
Yeah, that was only impression.
Yeah, for a while. 40 years this year.
Mary, we'll coordinate. I'll make sure you know about the council date and time.
Okay,
we'll
thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, can I go sit back?
Sure.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Yes.
Don't figure you're going to be overworked either.
Oh, really?
You never know.
Unless things change.
Oh, okay.
Things may change.
Things may change. Okay, Planning Commissioner terms and vacancies. That's up to you, right? Or you have that?
Yeah, I wanted to, since it's the end of the year, and we had some elections and we have some terms expiring, and I just wanted to run over where we're at in terms of vacancies and terms expiring and all that. So, Gloria, your term is set to expire the 31st of this month.
Right.
And we had talked, we do, I believe, have an advertisement out for one of the non-resident seats. There's two non-resident positions on the Planning Commission. And by non-resident, you have to live inside Deschutes County and be within 5 miles of the city limits. There's two positions, so Norm, you're the other position, and Gloria, you're one of the two positions.
And that is a, once the new one comes forward, that will be a 4-year, right?
Yeah, it would be a new term starting in January, a full 4 years. Norm, your term runs until the end of 2019. Don, obviously you're leaving for the council, so we'll have another opening, a resident opening that we'll have to advertise, that we'll do either at the end of this month or early January after you've officially left the Planning Commission. And then Russ, your term is, because you filled a vacancy, your term ends December 31st of this month. But if you want to stay on, then I don't see any issues with that. The council will have to technically reappoint, but it's not a vacancy. It's a matter of if you want to stay on or not. So I kind of wanted to just hear, you know, if from Gloria and from Russ.
I don't know, it's a lot of work, but I think.
Is it? Have we been putting you, straining you a little bit?
A lot of strain.
Corey?
Yes.
Would it be appropriate for us to make a motion to recommend that Russ is reappointed?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to make that motion then.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
That took care of that, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even get a chance to say your name.
Oh.
You didn't actually have a say in this. We planned it beforehand. And Gloria, I know you mentioned that you would maybe stay on for a little while.
Yeah, if you don't, you know, when there's somebody that's ready to come in, I mean, if you get applications and everything, then I will step down. I've been on it for a very long time. And I was off of it for a while, and then I came back on. So I think it's time for somebody else to be involved.
Okay.
But I will. I don't want to. We want to make sure we have a quorum at all times. So that's the main thing.
Okay. Then why don't we plan on reappointing you to a term in January? But we can leave the application open, if that makes sense. We have it out right now. Actually, let me think right now. We'll have a quorum in January, even if, so why don't we have the advertisement now. I've sent some information to a couple people, and application hasn't came in yet. Why don't we see where we're at the beginning of January, beginning of the new year, and we'll be in touch and figure out if we're having a lot of trouble. And maybe if anyone knows anyone to recruit for the non-resident seat, again, live in Deschutes County and be within 5 miles of the city limits. So
they don't have to be non-resident. Could be a resident.
It says two seats are designated for non-resident positions. So I don't know on that, to be honest. I think it means you're supposed to try to balance a little bit of
that. Might be a good idea to keep them up.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of things that affect outside of the city limits, and I think it probably might be a copy if it was just at this point in time. If it was just the city, it might be a problem.
Okay, I like that.
So
I'll triple check. I'm almost 100% sure that it's a designated non-resident seat. So
Corey, too, I'd like to say that I've got the big planning book, and there's no sense in going through making another one for a new planner. So I'll bring that down to City Hall with all of the planning documents that I have collected in it, and that way the new planner can get into it, see what's been done, and kind of study it a little bit.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, so that takes care of that. The city projects update, that's you, Corey.
Yeah, I'll handle that one. Tammy is not here, our city planner Tammy Wisco is not here tonight. We didn't have a whole lot on the agenda to discuss, so I saved the city's budget and her time and energy of driving down from Bend. But I do want to hit on a couple points, which first off is that in 2016, we had 47 planning-related applications. 47. Last year, we had 24. So the volume that has been site plans, conditional uses, lot line adjustments, even sign permits, you know, there's been a lot of activity from January 2016 up until now. So I just want to start by saying that it's been a fast and furious 2016 in terms of planning in Lapine, and it doesn't show any signs of stopping. So we have a couple of the main ones that Tammy's working on right now. Obviously, you know about the housing work comp plan amendment and zone change. You discussed that last meeting, and that's will be on the council agenda next week, an ordinance to formally adopt that. And then she's also working on the St. Vincent's de Paul expansion. They have a site plan application in the hopper, right, just south of Mid Oregon. They're looking to change their site a bit, and part of that process, which we've talked with them about, is that when you go through the site plan process, it triggers the city's transportation system plan. So they'll be required to make frontage improvements, wider sidewalks, streetscape, things like that. And then we did receive, although we're waiting on the payment to make it officially a public record and entered into our queue of applications to review, the St. Charles site plan. So we received that. That's a good sign. You know, because there was so much discussion between the city, county, and St. Charles, because county owns the property and owns technically the right-of-way of Huntington Road in front of it, they were at the table a lot with the discussions on the partition application, which carved out the land that St. Charles will have out of the larger county parcel. But because so much was covered then, the site plan, it should be pretty straightforward. So Tammy and I and Eric, our engineer, are optimistic on that one. Quite a few smaller projects as well. As you know, we are allowing recreational marijuana production in the industrial park. So we have right now, I believe, two applications that are actually being processed, site plan applications for construction of new buildings. I think they're both between, I want to say, 2,000 and 3,000 square feet.
These are the new ones?
In
addition to the one that's out there,
these are new construction. So they will have planning approval at some point in the next month or so, and then the land use decision basically gives them 2 years to build. So I don't know if they'll build right when the snow melts or sometime next summer, but they're going through that process. For the, I stopped counting, I don't know, maybe 30, 40, 50 people that I've talked to, it's interesting to see a couple of them actually start to happen, because for the last 6-9 months, it's been a lot of calls and talk and not a lot of follow through. So when they've submitted a site plan, they've spent money on engineering, on land use fees. They're definitely making a business decision to move forward. So I thought I would touch briefly on that. There's a couple items that I expect to be in front of the Planning Commission next month, concerning some subdivisions, concerning possibly manufactured homes and some of the regulations the city puts on those. I'll leave it at that just because I don't have more detail to share, but I would expect to see that at the January meeting. And other than that, I don't think I have any other projects to update you on. I do want to let you know as always, that if you do have questions, you know, visit City Hall for planning commissioners, you talk to myself or Tammy. You know, anything that's been submitted as an application and the fee's been paid, it's a public record, so anyone could actually stop by City Hall and review, take a look at plans if they were curious. So just always an open invitation to talk with Tammy or myself if you have any questions or concerns on items. So that's what I have tonight.
How much time does Tammy, is she using right now of the cities? Or how much time does she spend working on the cities?
Yeah, I'd say it probably averages about 10 hours a week, 40 hours a month for the bills we've been getting consistently.
I'd say 40 is a good guess.
Is a fair number.
Is a fair guess.
Yeah, about 10 hours a week. Yeah, I feel like we fell into a pretty good rhythm where I am kind of the, and I tell this to people, I'm sort of the gatekeeper. I am not a planner, but I can play on TV, I like to say, which means that I will answer some questions, quite a few questions, but if there's anything that I don't feel too comfortable on, or if someone is legitimately says, okay, I own this parcel and I have a conceptual idea of what I want to do on it and I want to move forward, we're going to schedule a meeting with Tammy and myself, likely the city engineer and public works manager, sit down at the table and put everything out there. So I try to monitor and regulate Tammy's time, and then Ashley's really stepped up to the plate in terms of a lot of the mailings and the notices and a lot of the kind of, there's a lot of details that go into it. I mean, there's a lot of boxes to check and things to keep track of, and so I think kind of triangulating between us three, you've done a pretty good job keeping her invoice lower. Her contract expires at the end of this month, but we're working to put together a new one and have it hopefully adopted next week at the council meeting. She's, I don't know about all of you, but she's been great to work with. She brings, you know, a lot of knowledge, energy, willing to deal with some of the more interesting cases that sometimes you come across here in Lapine, of being the youngest city in Oregon and, you know, having a lot of things in place and some people not sure about the process. But I think we've made a lot of progress in the last year. So that's my take on it.
Do you have any questions?
No, I'm good.
What about you, Don? Anything else?
No.
Question for Corey?
I'm fine. I do have one. Corey, the application for the marijuana processing, did they give you any indication of why they're picking here? Is it price or cost?
I think it's a combination of factors. Some cities don't allow it for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. I think Redmond is ascribing to the philosophy that their business license says that you cannot have to follow federal law, and so they're kind of sticking to that. I don't know if that legal advice is entirely sound, because the state obviously has passed it, and Deschutes County and the city as well. We only put the retail sales on the ballot. I think it's a combination of price, the ability for it to happen here in Central Oregon in particular, because Bend industrial land is very expensive. Mm-hmm. Redmond, as I said, is off the table. Sisters doesn't really have industrial land.
Right.
And then you basically come to Prineville or Lapine, and I think that the cost of the land and just the ability to even kind of sit down and talk and work with them is why they're looking here. Okay. Now, the piece that I've been curious is how many will actually follow through instead of just talk about it. And that's why I do want to continue to monitor as we head into winter, because anyone who's going to be building in the spring or summer, if they're smart, they're applying right now to get their approvals taken care of, so that when the snow starts melting in 4 months maybe, that they'll be able to build. Uh-huh. So depending on how many start actually coming through, I think it might be something we want to kind of keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. But circling all the way back to, I think, some of the reasons why the city chose not to put production or processing or wholesaling on the ballot is that we have industrial land, but we don't have any buildings for rent or vacancies for people who want to come in and start a business. So when you think about, if you're going to build a structure, a building, you're creating real value on that property that will go on the tax rolls, and you're also creating a structure that down the road, who knows what the marijuana industry will do. It could be future industrial vacancy space for other businesses. So that's kind of the original thought in my mind. But that's a good question, Norm. I don't know exactly.
Okay.
One other question. I remember we went through that big stack of restrictions on marijuana.
Time, place, manner.
Yeah. We had a 1,000-foot, you know, stipulation next to another. That doesn't apply to the growing?
That only applies to the
retail.
Retail, or a place you can go and buy marijuana.
Right. Yeah. So we could have a couple growers out here, plus we could have a wholesaler.
They could be right next to each other.
Right
now,
next to each other.
The trick,
which may not be a bad idea, but
well, thinking about the city's conditional use process that's required for producers, and not knowing all the details, but knowing that it's pretty extensive, the OLCC rules, and talking to some of the people who want to do this, the last thing they want is to draw attention to themselves. So my thought and expectation is that you will drive down the road, Picket, Fox, Assembly, or maybe one farther back in the industrial park, and you won't know what's happening inside. That's my guess.
Well, I thought it's sort of curious because I drove out there, plants are present grower out there. And he's right next to the state troopers, so
yeah.
I thought that was sort of handy.
No, some people have mentioned that as a benefit to try
yeah.
to just
yeah.
Deter people who want to try to break in or anything like that. So that's yeah, interesting.
If you'll remember, we talked about that against federal law, right, at the Planning Commission, and you and the City Council blew it away. But I wonder what's going to happen now. We have a new administration, and the Attorney General that they have appointed is very much against marijuana. Now, what's going to happen to some of these businesses if he happens to decide that it's against the federal law and we're going to prosecute everybody? Where do we stand there? Are we, as a city, going to be involved perhaps in because we allowed something that's illegal under federal law?
I think they've got one whole state called Colorado to worry about before they go after us.
Well, I'm sure they'll worry, but I'm wondering if it's something we might be prepared for in the future.
It's an interesting question. I mean, the closest analogy would be the early part of the 20th century going through Prohibition. I mean, there's nothing else quite like the time we're living in where you have a direct contradiction of states' rights and state law and the federal, you know, the supreme law of the land, per se. So it'll be interesting. I'm confident that our attorneys who have prepared and reviewed all ordinances, resolutions, time, place, manner, restrictions, our business license, all that stuff, they don't see an issue with it because they're following, ultimately, our home rule authority, which is chartered under state statute, not under the United States Constitution. There's no connection or liability or concern that I see from the city. Now, if these people invest and they're entering an industry that's not fully formed and somehow, some way, the federal government does crack down, then they would be the ones who would be losing their business and maybe we'd be left with a few buildings in the industrial park. But the city, as a municipal corporation, we have no direct liability by passing these rules or allowing it, from what I can see.
I have a question too. You know, they had that medical marijuana one, and then they opened up a recreational one in the same shopping area. Right, they're not connected, but they're right next to each other. It's my understanding.
There shouldn't be any. You're talking about retail, like
mm-hmm.
like a dispensary, a place you can
mm-hmm.
go and get it. There shouldn't be any recreational retailers open
not
right now.
Not anywhere close to a medical one? I mean, is that, I don't.
You mean hypothetically, or you think they
well,
do
Well, I
already?
Thought they have done this.
Well,
so.
Until January 1, no recreational retail establishments are allowed inside the city. Okay. After January 1, my guess, and if they were sitting in the audience, I think they'd agree, but the two people who own the two medical dispensaries in the city, they're going to convert from medical to recreational. Medical marijuana is not a moneymaker for these people. They were treading water, hoping that retail recreational marijuana would be allowed so that they could convert. They want to try to catch the people driving by on 97 and whoever else might be interested in that. To make some money. So my guess is what we'll see soon after the new year is they will apply through OLCC and then through the city's process that the council put in place to acquire a recreational retailer license from the city. In terms of could there be, and I don't have a good answer for this, because as you touched on earlier, Russ, there are restrictions that say medical marijuana dispensaries can't be within a certain distance of each other. I think it's 1,000 feet.
All right.
And then in the new restrictions we put on for recreational, the same thing. It says recreational can't be within 1,000 feet of each other. But I don't think it says that a medical one and a recreational one can't be within 1,000 feet of each other.
But why not have medical if you've got recreational right next to it?
I think medical is on the way
out. I was just curious because I, you know, how rumors are, and I heard that, and I thought, well, that doesn't sound right.
If you've heard that there's quote recreational marijuana, possibly you're talking about the one at the north end, not mm-hmm. in the. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can go pay a quick visit and yeah. check.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Okay. Everybody got all their answers from Corey?
Good enough for now. Mm-hmm.
All right, and we have no other matters. So we will go to staff comment.
Let's see. What else do I get to talk about?
You just did.
I will say that the city's looking into changing our system development charges for water and wastewater. We only have system development charges for water and wastewater. These are the charges when you have a big public works, public infrastructure project that helps pay for it. So there's really only two ways to pay for, say, a new well and a new pipe that helps feed the city water. And that would be by creating system development charges that add up to the cost or shifting it more to ratepayers. So cities are constantly making a balance between how are you going to recoup this cost? Is it going to be from ratepayers? Is it going to be from developers when they build new structures and hook up to the system for that capacity? You know, if a single family home only needs this much capacity, if someone came in and wanted to build a much larger structure that needed, you know, say 50 gallons per minute, then they would need this much capacity. So we are talking right now, we just got the final report 3 weeks ago from our consultant on these proposed increases to the development charges, and we're talking with the Central Oregon Builders Association. I've already talked with the builders in Huntington Meadows that are currently under construction. I will be talking with those in Crescent Creek who are building residential, and that meeting's next week. And I would expect probably in February or probably in March, the council will be talking about it in January, February, and then if everything lines up, I would expect in March we'll put it in place. And these are sometimes controversial, but I think the most basic way you have to look at it is that if we want to do a project like the one we had an open house for, like the one, I don't know if any of you heard or everyone in the audience, that we found out last week we got a $1.2 million grant from Community Development Block Grant. That was our first notification back on the applications. We submitted that application 2 weeks ago. They came back, they awarded us $1.2 million. So that's a good start. But when the project is $25 million, that only gets you so far. So we're hoping to piece together a few more grants, take a big chunk of that cost out. But the remaining amount is going to have to either be paid by ratepayers in the city or through system development charges. Ideally, you do a little of both. And so I just want to give you an update. If you want to learn more about system development charges, if you want to see the report, we have a copy that's on, there's a notice out right now, and it's for the public to review if they're interested. Then let me know. It can get kind of mind-boggling, but Let me know if you want to know personally more about it, but I just want to kind of give you as a big project.
How are we as far as, I mean, are we still low?
We're low, yeah. I mean, most cities have water and sewer, which is what we have here. But in addition to that, they also have park SDCs. We don't have a park SDC right now. We don't have a stormwater SDC. We don't have a transportation SDC. So right now we don't have a few items and expenses that most other cities do. And that's what builders, you know, will come back and say is that, well, you want to be careful not to raise those too much because you don't want to stifle development. Well, I think the economy's picking back up. I think our land prices are still very competitive in Central Oregon. And the cost of those public projects are the cost of those public projects. So that's a good question, but I think we're still very competitive right now. After the proposed increases and likely what I could see us doing, it's not for sure, but is phasing them in so that developers, if they're building next year, we don't want any surprises. That's only fair. So someone comes in, they want to build spring of, you know, not this spring, but the following year, so a year and a half from now. We can tell them so that they can put into their pro forma and their costs how much to expect. So I think that's a fair way to go about it, just phasing it in. So just a little heads up on that. Don, you'll hear more about that next month.
Well, I'll tell you what, right now, I've heard a lot of it around town from different people, and most people say, hey, we're not Eugene, we're not Salem, we're not Portland, we're not Bend, we're none of these other towns with large population. We're Lapine with a very small population, and we got a sign out here and everybody said we want to keep the small town feel, and if we start boosting these SDCs up, that sign can be taken down and blown up. So we need to be very careful what we do. Very careful. Or we might have a new mayor and new city council after the next election.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things to keep in mind. Yeah, that's an interesting take.
It is.
One thing I found interesting on a side note, Don, is there's, I might be off, but there's like 242 cities in Oregon, and Lapine, we're actually right in the middle in terms of median, not mean or average size, but we're at median size. So there's 120 cities that are our size or smaller. That's how many small rural cities and communities there are in Oregon.
So they all have huge SDCs?
Well, there's two things you want to look at. There's well, I mean, if you look at a Madras or a Pineville or a Sisters, they all have higher SDCs than we do. And then ultimately it's about the infrastructure in the ground. It's about the wells and the wastewater treatment facilities that we have. I mean, we have one pipe that's this big that serves the entire city for water. I don't want to be sending out boil notices again in 6 months or a year because someone ran into a hydrant and knocked our system out for a day and a half. So it's all a balance.
Okay. Planning Commissioner comments. We'll start with you, Russ.
No comment.
Okay. Yes, Don?
They got flooding up. I'm in big trouble already, and I'm not even a part of it.
How about you, Norman?
No, I'm good tonight.
Okay. And I don't really have anything either, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'd better make that motion or I'll be in big trouble.
Like I said, you get to do all the work tonight.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, thank you.
Thanks for coming down. And-